We're busy again dealing with our status in the world as shliachs of Hashem, yeah? So we got to the final point where we understood the uniqueness of our situation. Since I'm a shliach of Hashem and I come to this world to do a specific tafkid, and everything that's happening to me and everything that I have, etc., etc., the total package deal is all fine-tuned and designer-made ducker for me. So my unique situation and my unique purpose is very, very unique. And therefore we came to the conclusion that Shliach Hashem, Einu Mekanim B'Zilosa, you can never be jealous. So what's wrong with jealousy? It says three things take a person out of this world: Kovod, Taiva, and Kina. Yeah, Kina, Taiva, Kovod. Well, what's wrong with Kina, jealousy? It's because you don't believe in God. It's basically, it denies your basic position in the world. Wanting what somebody else has got is like saying, so I don't believe that everything I've got is from God, and therefore I want things. It's like, it uproots the whole ikkar of imunah. Same as Kovod. Kovod does exactly the same. I should have a better position. I should have got that aliyah. I should be, you know, I want my name up. Yeah, it's also, it uproots the ikkar yisoyed of imunah. Tithe is a little bit different. I don't know how tithe fits into that little package. Tithe are physical lusts and drives or whatever. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with an acre of imunah, but whatever. That's not learning Mishnah.
But with that dafka, when you want something that someone else has, there is room to want something that you don't have, and that's what we strive to reach places we've never reached before.
That's not so posh as what you say. Hold one second. There's a thing called kina seifrim, yeah, jealousy of the wise, where I use my desire to grow and develop and whatever, I use other people wanting to be like them, right? That's called kina seifrim. A big machlekas whether that's lechatchila or b'diavad. There's some that say that if you don't have that, there's something lacking in you. You have to have kina seifrim. You have to look at a big Talmud Chacham and you have to say, wow, how come he's able to sit and work so hard and I also want to be like that? To use it to inspire you, yeah? That according to most opinions, is a healthy, good thing to have. In fact, if you don't have it, there's something missing. Others hold that, no, it's better not to have that, but it's a valid tool, and it's mutter to use that tool in order to lift yourself up and inspire yourself. It means I'm using jealousy to raise myself up, not to drag the other person down. Yeah? Usually, what does jealousy say? Oh, I really want that car. Why has he got it? He shouldn't have that car. I want it. Yeah, that's usually what jealousy does. Jealousy saying, wow, he worked so hard and he got a car or whatever, and it's, yeah, sure, I'd also, you know, I also like to have a car like that. I also like to work hard and get a car like that. I'm also gonna put in an extra 10 hours a day now working hard, so I'm also gonna get a car. I'm using a very crude model. In a spiritual sense, it's called kina seifrim, that's fine. Yeah. But wanting what someone else has got because you feel a lack is a denial that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you everything you need. In the areas where you're responsible, no. In the areas where you're responsible, HaKol B'nei Shemayim Chutz MiYerushalayim. In the world of Yerushalayim, in the world of Yerushalayim, then you've got to go after it. You've got to work. Depends why you're doing it. Even in Ruchnias, we can go very, very skewed in terms of doing it for me. You know, self growth and development. You know, that's the. That's the flip side of acquisitions in the Western world. It's usually what happens. You're out there in the Western world dealing with acquisition and buying and conquering the world and physicality or whatever. Then you become a vulture or whatever, you wake up, you realize reality, so you become from whatever, and what do? You take that negative mid and you just translate it into ruchness. Now you're out there acquiring and acquisitioning and, you know, exactly the same selfish, self-centered, you know, person, just, you know, acquiring ruchness like goodies. That's not what Yiddishkeit's about either. Yiddishkeit's about giving, not about taking. Self-growth and development is not a very Jewish thing. Correcting one's midas, changing, developing oneself, yeah, about it, but why? Self? No, not self, so that I can serve Hashem better. So that I can be a better person, I can fulfill my tafkid in the world better, but not because I want to have, you know, a few more spiritual muscles. Another Masechta. Why? So if you're doing it because you understand the importance of learning and you're trying to understand Hashem's words and you're trying to learn more so you can find out how more better to serve Hashem, it's wonderful. But if you're, you know, just knocking off Masechta so the people see you making seal me because that gives you some kind of a feather in the cap, so The judgment king, Rav Feldman, in the judgment of the king, he discusses the guy sitting in Shiva steiging and learning and steiging because he wants to use his learning to elevate his gavi in the world. So every second he's busy learning Torah, his grave getting deeper and deeper. The Gemara says the citizens of Mechuzah are destined for Gehenna. Who are the citizens of Mechuzah? Great Talmidei Chachamim. Great Talmidei Chachamim. Mechuzah was a big economic center in Babel during the times of the goddess. And the most sought after people in the financial, business, economic world were the Talmidei Chachamim, because they make the best businessmen, yeah? Because they're clever, they don't work. So the best positions in business are very unlike today. Today there's not much there's not many lowly schmalls in learning Torah today, yeah? You don't tell you don't get the best jobs, you know? The chairman of Intel ain't the problem with Chofer, you know? So, but in those days, it seems in Mechuzah, they were very sought after. So people used to learn and become Talmid Chachamim to get the best jobs. So it says, they're destined for Gehenna. But they learned and become Talmid Chachamim, yeah, but their learning was moving up their gaiva, they were becoming bigger and bigger by the gaiva through their learning. The Torah says the Torah can be a potion of life or a potion of death. You have to be very careful. It's a fine line. But that's the Nakuda. That jealousy you're talking about is a very important sugya, because it's one of the things that motivate us and things that should drive us in a healthy way. The barometer, of course, is how do you feel after you've had a little bit of kinesophy. Usually you come away from a jealous moment feeling a little bit bitter and icky, right? If you come away from a jealous moment feeling inspired and motivated to do more, so then chances are it was a healthy kinesophy. In a ruchnifika sense, obviously. But it could be physical as well, if that physicality has been translated into a woman goes to visit her next door neighbor and she's got this new, six plate stainless steel oven, you know, and she really gets jealous because, wow, she had an oven like that, she could have three more visitors for Shabbos, yeah? Now she really wants to have this oven because she really wants to have more visitors for Shabbos, or she wants to cook more bigger chayim meals and she really feels limited, you know? The one Bob Kirov in London who was fretting to me about the fact that his house is too small and he can only fit 24 people into his Shabbos table. And he's like, mamash upset, he needs more space in his house, you see? Yeah, that's healthy, that's wonderful. Yeah? Wanting a bigger house because you're, just no more place for guests anymore. That's wonderful. But wanting this new stainless steel oven because you're into stainless steel, you like the shine. So obviously that's, and getting jealous with Myra next door because she's got the new shiny stainless steel, obviously. You understand? That's the difference between kinesophim, wanting her stainless steel oven because you want to make more challahs, to feed poor people. That's all. That's kinesophim. That's wonderful. And wanting that steel oven because your oven's a year old already and it's pashmit, it's a year old oven. You haven't refurbished your kitchen this winter, so that's a big problem.
How does this work with
Sameach
Kolpo?
Excellent question. So Sameach Bekelcha means everything that's not your responsibility, you have to be Sameach with. Mm. But wanting something in Ruchnias, wanting something more in order to be able to do more Ruchnias and to be more of a Baal Chesed and to, in the area of what's called Yerushamayim, in your area of Bechira, so then Sameach Bekelcha, no. But it's you're right. Okay. We're not going to answer that now. There's a Sameach Bekelcha in Ruchnias as well, which is why most people are walking around very frustrated today. Because there is a problem in not understanding that there's a Sameach Bekelcha in Ruchnias as well. But at the end of the day, you did what you did, you have to go to bed with a big smile on your face, even though you didn't really achieve what you set out to achieve today. But at the end of the day, you did what you did, you have to Sameach Bekelcha, that's what you were supposed to do. Well, you do tshuva for the things, whatever. Now you've done tshuva, you go to bed ecstatic because you're Sameach Bekelcha. If you're walking around beating yourself to death over your lack of Ruchnias, dikkur achievements or whatever, it's also a lack of. It's the same problem. Obviously it's a little bit more subtle because you have something to do about it. You see, how much money you've got, Sameach Bekelcha, it's nothing to do with you, there's nothing you're going to change that. But Sameach Bekelcha and how many Daf Gemara you learned today, you actually do have a certain amount of say, not a total amount, you'd have a limited amount of say how much you could do there. Assuming that's in your Bechira, by the way, you have to know. You keep getting back to Bechira, you can't avoid that sugya. You have to know that not everything that looks to be within the world of Yerushalayim Bechira is necessary in the world of Yerushalayim. It could be that you cannot learn more than half a daf today. Yeah? And therefore you set out to learn a daf today and you only learned half a daf, you're walking around miserable and frustrated, you didn't do what you achieved. When you have to be very careful of knowing what's in your Bechira and what's out of your Bechira. That's what Deskel discusses at length. What's your Nekudas HaBechira? So in the world of Nekudas HaBechira, you're right. There's some Sameach Bekelcha, but even there one has to be able to, in a healthy way, accept what you've achieved. If you find yourself slipping into things like self, beating yourself up and regret and stuff like that, I would say you're 100% sure that it's not healthy. It's not a healthy, lack of smart. If you come away from having beat yourself up and whatever, now you're more inspired and you're ready to go and you feel like you've got more energy and you've got a bigger smile on your face, wonderful, beat yourself up, but most of us come away feeling like, then why do it? Chance of creates a horror beating you up, not you. So that's a big sugya. I mean, that's a whole series of sharing. The whole sugya of koichavotzim yadi begashmias. The power of my right hand did this for me in Gashmias, which everybody understands. But when it trips into Koichavotzim Yadi Begashmias, when I'm now using the power of my might in order to achieve spiritual things, we don't necessarily notice that that's bad, that's a problem. It's just as much of a problem as Koichavotzim Yadi Begashmias. And that, obviously, the flip side of that is Samach B'chelkei. And that manifests in... For most of us, the problem is not in the Koichavotzim Yadi and the Samach B'chelkei Gashmias. We're aware of that struggle and that battle, and we usually do very well at it. It's the struggle in the spiritual world where we get very tripped up. That's the frustration of Tava mentioned the other day about the Talmud Chochem is very frustrated now. As he becomes more of Talmud Chochem, so now his wife is obviously not, doing what she's supposed to be doing, or the kids aren't behaving in a way that now fits his new status. And the famous story with Rav Gifter, I think we've mentioned it here many times. The guys that haven't heard it, and every person has to have his Maisa. Tells you what we talk about. What's a God will be Israel? So this is for me, this is what a God will be Israel is. The story indicates incredible amount of MS and a total sensitivity to the needs of the situation. Dazzling Maisa, and I happened to have heard it from somebody who was very close to the person involved. So it wasn't like a fourth hand story. We heard it from somebody who heard it from the guy that was there. And the person I heard it from happens to be a very reliable Talmud Chacham as well. There was a young Avreich in Telz, in Cleveland, in the yeshiva there, whatever, who had been promoted to becoming a Magid Shir. So he got his long coat and then the two buttons, got a promotion in rank and whatever. And he came home and explained to his wife that since he's now a Magid Shir and whatever, so he's not Kavod HaTorah for him to take the garbage out anymore. There is a thing called Kavod HaTorah. Talmud Chacham schlepping garbage and whatever, it's not called Kavod HaTorah. It's not appropriate. And therefore, he's unable to take out the garbage anymore. Well, they lived on the third floor or whatever. I don't exactly know where they lived or whatever. And of course, the wife was quite understandably a little bit upset. And she went to Rav Gifter, she went to Rosh Yeshiva to say, Mother, you might have got a promotion and now I'm a schmata, I've got to step out the garbage. I can't. I'm pregnant, I can't manage, whatever. So she came to Rav Gifter, and Rav Gifter said, your husband happens to be right there. For him, it's not covered at all. You can't take out the garbage. So she went home, Mama's upset. But she's not going to argue with Rav Gifter. That night, the husband sitting at home learning with his chavrusa. That's how the story got out from the chavrusa. And there's a knock on the door at 9 o'clock at night. So he gets up to go to the door and he opens the door. And there stands Rav Gifter. Rosh Yeshiva, what are you doing here? He says, I've come to take out your garbage. He says, what do you mean? He says, look, for you, Kavod HaTorah, you're going to take out the garbage. Your wife for sure can't take out the garbage. So who else is going to get out the garbage? So I came to take out the garbage. He never had a problem taking out the garbage anymore, this guy. He had a new definition of what's called Kavod HaTorah. But that's a way to come out of Makiris Makayma and Samach B'chelkai and if you don't understand the story, you don't get the story clear. It's very, very hard to be a well-balanced Ben Torah. It's a way to come out. How's Rav Gifter's response to that? And Rav Gifter was serious. Had the guy said to Rav Gifter he has the garbage, he would have taken the garbage out. He had no problem taking that garbage. See, because helping another Jew he didn't see was a problem of Kavod HaTorah. Me taking out my garbage, that could be a problem of Kavod HaTorah. But me helping you take out your garbage, what Kavod HaTorah is bigger than that than helping another Jew? So a lot of important lessons in that mindset. Never ever forget that story. One of the important stories to come out of this generation. You know, Rav Gifter, they have them today. You get the albums with the ready pictures. Yeah, some people say you should have them, some it's not a good idea, whatever. They had the ready pictures. So Rav Gifter had the ready pictures when he was a kid, he had the ready pictures, and there was one place left open. So His mother once asked him, what's that? He said, that's for me. He wanted to be a godel. He was a little kid. He wanted to be a godel. So he left the space. It was his picture. And one day he was going to be a godel. That's called kinesophy. That's a healthy, you know, that's, you have to aspire to be great. I'll tell you another thing. If you don't aspire to be very, very great, you're always going to be mediocre. If you aspire to be great, you might be lucky just to be mediocre. But if you aspire to just be a normal average guy, you're going to be very mediocre. You have to aspire to be great. So the Vigdor Miller used to scream that all the time. And it's exactly the sugar we're learning. Because if that's what Hashem wants, of course you can be great. There's nothing holding you back. The Shliach of Hashem. You have to do the work. But if you do the work, there's nothing holding you back. And every person wants to be great. There's no one in this room who isn't driven to be great. Yeah, we kill our dreams, we lobotomize them, we sort of, you know, we sublimate them because we're just too lazy to be great. But everybody deep down wants to be great, and not giving yourself that opportunity creates an enormous amount of frustration. Anyway, let's stop. Okay. All right, we'll start with jealousy on Sunday, Bezat Hashem.